grab your Bible, if you would, and turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Talk with some of the different folks. A lot of people are having trouble hearing lately, so we're going to keep it a little louder. But I will tell you, we paid money several years back for a hearing assist system, which I installed, and nobody would use it. I still have it. I'll be glad to hook it back up. But if I hook it up again and nobody will use it, I will be extremely annoyed. So we paid good money for it. It sat back there. I couldn't talk to people. Actually, Mrs. Burwell used it, and that was the only person who used it. So if you're too proud to use the hearing assisted system, don't complain you can't hear. I have no mercy for you. Yeah, I have no mercy for you. None, zero, zilch. But some of you don't have much of a life, so you got to talk about something. So, told you, I'm tired. The medicine's got me a little edgy. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, go ahead and stand, because I don't trust you this afternoon. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. To everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep, a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. Now turn your Bible over to Jeremiah chapter 8. Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 20. The Bible says, "The harvest is past, the summer is ended, we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt, I am black, astonishment hath taken hold on me. Is there no balm in Gilead, is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered?" In Ecclesiastes, we are reminded about time and how God has a set order and there's a time for everything. Everything is appropriate in its time slot. Out of its time slot, it's not appropriate. There are times it's appropriate in the church to say amen and time when it's not. My good friend Jason Luther King likes to say amen when it's not appropriate. If I say I'm getting heavy, he'll say amen. If I say God's forgiven you all your sins, cricket, cricket, no amen. Okay, it's an appropriate time. I do not advocate lying. I said things against it today. But when your wife says, "Does this dress make me look fat?" it's the time to lie. There's an appropriate time. Just know this. At certain times, you cannot tell the truth because it will be held against you in a court of law. You just don't tell the truth certain times. So there's a time for things. Here in Jeremiah, it talks about time again when it says the harvest is past, so to lose the time. The summer is ended. We are not saved. They have missed the time of opportunity. So I want to take a few minutes, and I will be brief, to talk about as time passes by. Father, thank you for your word. Bless it to us, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Time is a measurement, and it's a measurement of both progress and decay. Young people can't wait to get older. They would like you to think that they are older than they are. And there comes a point when older people want you to think that you are younger than you are. It's a measurement. It's a measurement of how old something is, how durable something is. It's also a measurement of opportunity and or missed opportunity. Time is a measurement. Time does not exist for God. He is above time. He transcends time. That's why his day is 1,000 years. 1,000 years is a day. Time means nothing to him. It's irrelevant to him. The only reason it means something to God is when it means something to us. That's why the Bible says, "Teach me to number my days." So time has relative existence to God, and its relativity is how it relates to his creation, man. But time is very relevant to us. We measure everything by it. We measure the sermon by it. We measure our self by it, our age. You know, little kids, and some of my grandkids, I'll say, "Are you 9? And they'll say, "9 and 6 months." Okay, you know, you know, you people that have, you know, babies, I don't understand why, you know, at some point we're measuring them in months. He's 12 months. Well, wouldn't that be one? You know, he's 18 months. Well, is that a year and a half? You know, he's 27 months. Isn't that 2 and 3 months? I mean, when do we get... Do we... You want to count my months? What's 12 times 64? And then you'd have to add August, September, October, and 3. That's a lot of months. You know, at some point, yeah, get out the calculator. We don't measure things that way. But time is relative to us. So here's a couple of things very quickly I want to tell you about time. Number one, don't waste your youth. Don't waste your youth. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12 says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer in word and conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and purity." And listen, I don't care how old you are. On this planet, you are as young as you're going to be. On this planet, you're not getting any younger. So don't waste opportunity. The harvest is past. The summer is ended. Missed opportunity. Use your youth. Young people, don't waste your youth. Don't waste it on sinful things. Don't waste it on stupid things. Use it for spiritual things. Don't waste your youth. Don't waste your youth on being childish. You know, 1 Corinthians teaches us it's not a shame to be a child, but when I became a man, the Scripture says, I put away childish things. We don't waste our youth, but we don't stay in our youth. You can't be 50 years old and still act like a little baby. You know, young people want to be treated like adults, and then when they act like children, they wonder why they're treated like a child. And I understand that. But at some point, you have to decide that you are going to, you know, we say act your age. No, act spiritual, no matter what your age is. If you just act spiritual, you'll be fine. Job said, "My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope." That's the sad remorse of how quickly time will go by. And you won't be young forever. And I know you look back and, you know, Alec, you're 23, right? So, Alec, you were actually when I he was 12 years old when I came to this church, and he's now your assistant pastor. Just realize what Andre could be in the next 10 years. It's scary, isn't it? It's scary. Emily just turned 12. She's the age you were when I came here. Time goes quick. Don't waste it. Don't waste it. You don't know how much of it you have, so don't waste it. Don't waste your youth. Look, you're going to get to a time. Look, here's something I thought of today. It's getting harder and harder for me to do certain things, but you know what? When I get to be my mom's age, there'll be even less things I'm able to do. So I better take advantage of the things I can do now. I better take advantage of those things and utilize those things to the best of my ability. There'll come a time, look, I'll be honest with you, right now it's hard for me to knock doors. After about 50 or 20 minutes, everything in my body is refusing to keep doing this. Okay? But it'll be a short period of time I won't be able to do it at all. And I know that. I know that. I know that those days are coming. So what should I do? Strike while the iron is hot. What should I do? Utilize the time that God has. Don't waste your youth. Number two, don't waste time, invest time. If you will invest time, you can make time. What do you mean? You will be amazed at how much time God extends things and how God produces, as it were, time in your life if you will invest it. But if you will waste it, time gets shorter. Time is one of those commodities that spiritually, the more you waste it, the quicker it gets, and the more you invest it spiritually, the longer it gets. See, when you invest it in a sermon, it gets longer and longer and longer. And longer. Invest it. Our problem is we invest in temporal things instead of eternal things. And that's why Jesus warned in Matthew chapter 6, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Don't waste your time. Invest your time, and you'll find that you will have more time. If you will take the time to pray, you'll have more time during the day to play. Invest your time. If you will take time to worship God, you'll have more time to work. I'm too busy with work to worship. I'm too busy with play to pray. You got it backwards. If you'll spend the time, a man asked George Mueller, how long he prayed every day. And he said he prayed a minimum of 3 hours every day. And the man said, I don't have time to pray 3 hours a day. And George Mueller said, I don't have time not to. I'm saying invest your time so that you can make time. Invest in the interest of God instead of your own interest. You know what's funny? We make time for what we're interested in. If you're interested in football, you'll make time to watch it or play it. If you're interested in golf, you'll make time to play golf. If you're interested in fishing, you'll make time to fish. If you're interested in hunting, you'll find time to hunt. If you're interested in, I don't know what women are interested in, stuff. If you're interested in cooking, cakes, dresses, I don't know. Shopping! I don't know what you're interested in. But you make time to do what you're interested in. And yet we never have time for spiritual things. I'm saying invest your time in what God is interested in because He's the one who controls time. If you're making a birthday cake for me, don't. Make a pie. Because I don't like cake that much. I like pie. But I like cake. Whose birthday is it? This is the day that you have made? Oh, this is the day that the Lord hath made? We will rejoice and be glad therein? So if it's the Lord's day, then let's invest it in what He's interested in, because it's His day. We always say, that, you know, somebody's birthday, that's your day. Well, this is God's day. Every day is His day. Let's invest it. Be insightful as you measure time. You know, sometimes we get false measurements of things. Be very insightful as you measure time. When the Bible says, teach me to number my days, well, you know, think about that for a minute. I mean, what does that mean? Does that mean teach me to count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? No. It means teach me to understand how valuable these days are, what the true measurement of them is. I worked at a cabinet shop my first 2.5 years in Bible college, and I ran a table saw cutting out pieces for cabinets. It was a big production where all I did was run the saw and cut out pieces. And I stacked all these different kinds of pieces. And then there were guys over here that assembled them and so forth and so on. One guy built the cabinets, other guys made the doors and routed them and da-da-da-da. And then the final assembly was over there. Sometimes we would build special cabinets. There was a custom van place just across the street from us. And they would come over with diagrams for cabinets. And they would want cabinets built to this spec. And so I would have to look at those and cut the pieces accordingly. And I'd cut the pieces accordingly. And I realized when you do the custom van, things have to be like perfect. They got to fit in there perfect. And they'd come back with a cabinet that I made, and that I measured or cut out, someone else put together. And they'd say, this doesn't fit. It's wrong. It's too small. It's too big. It's whatever. And I'd take my tape and put it on it. And I'd say, look at the diagram. It's exact. It's exact. And I got used to the fact that I would say, let me see your tape. When I take your tape measure, that little metal thing on the end sometimes would be bent like that. Or they'd smash down the rivets to where that thing is supposed to slide. And it slides the thickness of the little blade that goes down so that when you put it on and pull, you get a 1/16 more this way. And when you put it down and push, you get a 1/16 less. So it's perfect. But if you smash that, one way it's going to be right and one way it's going to be a 1/16 off. And I would show them that their tape was wrong. And they said, how do you know that? Because every day when I start, I take my tape measure, and on the end of my metal saw, there is a rule here, and it's a hard metal bench, and I put my tape on and I measure, and I take my hammer and I tap that metal thing and I make sure it slides back and forth, because I want to make sure my tape is accurate. Because the builders and people like you will come and say, this is not right, and I'll say, wait a minute, let's put the tape on it. Teach us to value it the way God values it with an accurate measurement. Accurate measurement. Be insightful about your time. Don't waste your youth. Don't waste time. Invest it and you'll make more time. And lastly, don't worry. Time will end one day. There's a positive and negative to that. Revelation chapter 10 verse 6. And swear by Him that liveth forever and ever who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth, and the things that therein are, and the sea, and the things that therein are, that there be time no longer. The negative side of that is things do have an end, and therefore it's important to get done what needs to be done. Like a test, when it's finished, you must put your pencil down, and it's finished. So if there's people that you want to be saved, you better witness to them now. because this does have an end. Okay? If there's something you want to get accomplished, our life has a period at the end of a sentence. It ends. Rapture comes. It ends. There are ending points to time. Ending points to the time is the way we know it. But the positive side of that is if you're enduring something that's difficult and you're straining with things, many of you that go through physical problems and such, I want you to understand something. It's going to end one day. It's going to end one day. And people like me that are always chasing that clock, chasing it, chasing it, chasing it, one day, nothing to chase. Nothing to chase. I struggle even trying to go on any kind of a vacation and relax because my tendency, my wife said we'd go on vacation, I'd drive everybody nuts because I'd planned a vacation. We're going to get up at this time, have breakfast this time, then we're going to go to SeaWorld from this time to this time, and we're going to do this. But here's what I had a schedule. And my wife was about to tell me where I could put that schedule. Can't you just come and relax? We're on vacation. Wake up when we want to wake up. Eat what you want to eat. Go when you want to go. Come back when you want to. Who lives like that? Sane people. Crazy, neurotic individuals like you are. But the park opens at this time. It closes at this time. We want to get our money's worth. The buffet gets cheaper right at this time. They increase the price for the dinner menu at 3, so we got to get there at 2:45. Get in on the lunch price, and then they put the other food out. My dad taught me that one. By the way, we were at a Chinese restaurant somewhere, and we came in and got the lunch price. When they're going to put the menu, the dinner stuff on the buffet, the little foreign lady came over and said, "You must leave. You must go. You must go or pay another $1.25. Before they put the other food out, they're going to make me pay the extra price for the dinner menu. I've never had that happen before. I thought, okay, well, that's interesting. Well, I've eaten. I'll go. Said all that to say this. There's a period at the end of this sentence. As you chase the clock, realize you're never going to catch it, but by and by you will. You'll catch up to it. You better be able to prepare to rejoice. You won't have a whole lot of time for moaning and mourning, although there's no doubt when God says He will wipe away all tears that there is some lamenting, some lamentation, some lamenting that takes place. Whether it's over things we did not do, crowns we did not win, people that did not get saved. Whatever it's over, I can't be sure. I can speculate. But I know this. Those tears do get wiped away. There'll be a moment, though, where we wish we had given Him more, the songwriter said. We wish we had done more. So as time quickly passes, let's get busy. Now, I memorized a poem that I had to recite in speech class in high school. 1975, I think it was. And I try to end every time I preach on this subject by quoting the poem. I'm realizing that the poem is getting shorter as the time goes by. But I will do my best. As time quickly passes, we get caught up in the race. And sometimes our sense of value slips a little out of place. It's a good thing to pull over to the roadside now and then and get our thinking straightened out before we start again. And like as not, we'll find a thought or two to make us glad. Some blessing that we overlooked. Forgotten that we had. A few good, honest thoughts, and chances are we'll arrive at the heartening conclusion that it's good to be alive. Use your time wisely, because time quickly passes. Would you by His close your eyes on this afternoon, Father? I pray that You bless us, help us to use our time wisely, because time passes by.